Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats, health and wellness advice for women over 40 and beyond with Amanda Thebe. This is a show full of hot topics specifically for hot women. Amanda Thebe is a force of nature for women who are experiencing menopause hell and want to start feeling healthy and fit in their 40s and beyond. Through her very frank articles, podcasts, and hilarious social media presence, she's here to help you with informative advice while making you laugh like a 20-year-old throughout. Her raging fans have called her an unstoppable inspiration, resilient bitch, and one woman called her the over 40 guru to watch in 2017. Please visit us at fitandchips.com. And now, here's your host, Amanda Thebe.
Hi, and welcome to Fit and Chips Chats with me, your host, Amanda Thebe. And as you know, I'm always looking to introduce and connect my listeners with awesome people with valuable knowledge. And I'm excited that Megan Calloway is on the show today. Megan is the strength coach from Vancouver in Canada, with over 14 years experience coaching a wide array of clients from elite athletes to post physical therapy with strength training, and as well as everyday people who want to feel, perform, and function at a higher level. She has just released her program, The Ultimate Pull-Up Program, which I have a copy of, and I am doing, by the way, Megan. And she believes that working out should be fun, mentally and physically rewarding and empowering. Megan has an extensive athletic background and has competed for 27 years as a soccer player. That's pretty cool. And we have to mention David Beckham in the talk today.
Yes, although he is now retired.
Well, I'm going to get married, David, and I'll talk more on that later. But he's still so cute.
He is.
And you also grew up playing ice hockey, of course, because you're Canadian, right?
Mm-hmm.
You grew up with ice skates on.
Somewhat, yeah.
And then baseball, but always on a boys' team. And we've got quite a lot to talk about today, but I would just like to say hi and welcome to the show. I'm very excited to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great. So why don't we start with you? Why don't you tell us your story, Megan? Because I'm excited to hear it for myself and how you got into fitness, how you overcame some unhealthy habits or disciplines, and also the life-changing experience that sort of put you on the path that you're on today.
Oh, all right. So where do I begin? Well, probably, I guess, when I was in my early 20s, I decided I wanted to be a personal trainer. Probably like many people, I thought it would be fun to work out in a gym, in gym clothes. I thought it would be very easy, and I learned that was anything but the case. When I started out, unfortunately, social media wasn't as big. I didn't have as many good people to follow, so I kind of got into the industry following people like typical celebrity trainers that I definitely try to steer people well clear of now. Even the certification, like getting certified, I didn't learn a lot, and I find they still don't teach a lot of useful information. So what I learned, if I wanted to be good at my job, if I wanted to help people make a difference and enjoy it more, I needed to spend so much time on my own, digging in, researching, experimenting, learning, teaching myself, just because most of what they teach you when you get certified or even in university, because I do have the degree in kinesiology, is pretty much useless. And I know that sounds terrible to say. So when I started out, like most, I was probably pretty terrible. When I was 28, I was in a really bad car accident. I was going to pick up a friend at the hospital who blew out her knee playing basketball. And there was a snowstorm. I was stupid. It was late at night. And I went to go get her. And I only had all season tires. So my car spun out on the highway. I guess it hit black ice, did a 180, smashed the one side on the median, bounced across the highway, hit the other side of the car. So I had time to think about it. And at the time I thought, oh, I'm going to die. And then I thought, no, I'm just going to be hurt really badly. So I leaned across the car to avoid the impact. And I walked away without any injuries, which was shocking. But after that, for about 5 years, I just started having the craziest symptoms. I'd wake up in the morning and I would just be insanely stiff from my head all the way to my heels. I would get numbness in my glutes, down my legs. Then I started, and I didn't know any better at the time, and I was fed so much bad information. I was told that my back would go out or my SI joint would go out and all that bullshit. So I was seeing a chiropractor who, same thing, yeah, your L4 is out, your L5 is out, your SI joint. They'd crack me back in, I'd be good for about a day, and then I'd be back to square one. So for a couple of years, and this, I was still playing soccer the whole time, still trying to work out, was visiting a chiro 3 days a week and spending a lot of money. Then I kind of clued in, I wasn't getting any better, went to go see an athletic therapist who basically just told me, oh, you're so weak here, you're so dysfunctional, you're so unstable. So pretty much made me feel like I was weak, broken, and fragile, and scared me into moving at all. Then I finally went and I saw, oh, sorry, before that, I went to ART, same thing. Oh, your SI joint, oh, your low back, all that stuff, the stuff that we know isn't true. Your back does not go out. So I finally found somebody, and right away he looked at me and he's like, holy shit, I think he actually said shit, but holy shit, your rib cage, due to the accident and the impact, because I leaned so hard across the car and was bracing and was totally rotated, I guess when the car hit, it caused my ribs to become, I guess they were misaligned. I don't know the exact terminology, but they were severely compressed on the one side. And due to that, I was having severe like nerve irritation to the point where I was told by somebody else that I had a leg length discrepancy. I had so many issues. And he taught me how to, it's called nerve stacking. He taught me how to kind of reposition my ribs. He space them out so the nerve, like the irritation, pretty much within 2 days, all of these symptoms that I had. And in these 5 years, I spent well over $20,000 going from, and this is when I could not, I mean, not like I could afford it now, but I really could not afford it then. I just wanted to feel normal again. I mean, aside from when I was sleeping, I had symptoms 24/7. I did eventually have to quit playing soccer. I could not work out at all. Or at least,
how does that impact you on a like a psychological?
Oh, horrible! I mean, I was severely depressed. I isolated myself. I felt like people thought it like I was a hypochondriac. So I didn't tell. I pretty much told nobody what I was feeling. Like I kind of, you feel like almost a sense of shame because you're used to being an athlete, you're used to being able to do stuff, and you can't. And I just, whenever I'd go places, because I was having so many different symptoms and they were so different and unpredictable, and I was always trying to solve them and figure out why, I was so in my own head and I just did feel like people thought I was a hypochondriac. So I didn't tell anybody. And so that changed my mindset because for much of my 20s, even my late teens, I worked out to control my appearance. I focused on doing all, like I joke about it now, but like all the bullshit cardio where you're trying to burn a certain number of calories. It's all about controlling your appearance, focusing on what the scale tells you, doing strength training, but not proper exercises because you're trying to tone and you don't want to get bulky and all that once again. So after the car accident, my main thing, I just wanted to feel normal again. I didn't care if I worked out again. I didn't care if I played sports. I just wanted to be able to get through the day without having all of these symptoms because it was... Yeah.
To be
physically
pain-free, like just to not be in pain. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, I didn't even care. But after I saw, his name is Jason, the guy who fixed me basically, I wanted to get strong. I just wanted to rebuild my body, feel good, be able to do cool stuff. And my mindset totally shifted from focusing on what I look like and controlling that to just feeling good, being empowered. I was able to do pull-ups before this whole thing, but I mean, not very well and not very many. So one of my goals as well was to get really good at pull-ups and all kind of the body weight stuff you see me doing. And I just wanted to feel athletic again and kind of just like a well-rounded athlete. So my mindset shifted and it caused, during this time as well, I studied a lot of Stu McGill's work. So when I was trying to rehab and all that, I learned a lot from him, a lot from other really good names in the industry. So that did a huge amount of good for me professionally, like in terms of just being able to help people in terms of the message I'm conveying, but then also my amount of knowledge. So if anything, like it was 5 years of hell, but now I almost look at it as a blessing.
Yeah, there's been so much growth clearly since that time, just physically and mentally, that you've just become a different person by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this before we started recording, and it was all about how just fucked up the industry is. And it's just such a frustrating thing for us both as trainers who are focused on being the best we can be in our health and wellness. And if you look good naked as a byproduct, well, that's always a benefit. Like that's always a bonus, but that's not the focus. And yet it seems to us that what's happening in the industry, and it's so disgraceful, is that it's purely only about your appearance and how good you can look. And that's not what regular folk want. They want to feel good. They want to feel strong. But it's not sexy, I suppose. It doesn't sell. That's what I think is the situation, right?
Well, see, my message, you can have it all. Like, I find if you focus, I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting to change the way you look. Like, that's totally cool. But it's how people go about doing it. And then I find that so many people miss out on so much by just focusing on the way they look. And even I talked about this on a recent podcast, just the whole body positivity thing, which I think is amazing. But I also think it's can be going too far in the opposite direction, because I mean, it's mainly women. I mean, women have been picked on for years, and I 100% agree with the message of body positivity for men, women, people of all genders. But also, we need to focus. We're just focusing on appearance. We're not focusing on how the body can function, how good it can feel. It's only about appearance. And in a lot of cases, it's just a message of anger, I find, a message that I don't really relate to. I find that we can be more positive just by being more empowering, more inclusive, versus kind of sometimes putting out messages of anger and excluding people if you don't fit a certain mold.
That's so great to hear. I feel exactly the same way. I think I just didn't put it into words like you do, but for sure. I mean, one of the main messages I like to say to people is, if you're in a place where big, small, little, tall, it doesn't matter what shape or size you are, if you want to make an improvement on the way that you feel, chances are it's going to change the way you look as well. It just happens to be, like you said, you get it all when you start making changes. And a lot of the time, if people come to us and they want our honest opinion, a lot of the times losing a little bit of weight is going to get them to a healthier goal.
Yeah.
Providing that's what they've come to you for. I mean,
exactly.
I would never, ever push my ideals onto people about what I feel like they should look like, because that's always a personal choice.
Yeah.
But I agree, the message has got out of hand now, and I think it's completely angry, and it drives me nuts, actually. And it's, there's so much more out there to talk about than just this. Like, to me, like, one of the things that you were talking about is how, to me, that's more important than like appearances, like how you had so much misinformation all those 5 years from health professionals that you paid $20,000 just to feel normal.
Yeah. And like, even I saw this on Instagram, and I'll give him credit, Jared Hall. He had this, I honestly hate infographics. They drive me crazy. Within reason, I mean, they're fine, but when that's all you see, I just get really annoyed. But he had this really good infographic, and they're on the left-hand side, I believe it was words that you hear. I can't remember if it was the left or the right-hand side, but on the one side, it was words like broken, weak, unstable. I forget what else, but then on the left or on the right side, it was like strong, capable. So all the words that people should be hearing, but sometimes coaches are guilty of this. In my experience, I mean, the doctors that I saw, they made me feel like a complete fuck up. Like, I was terrified of so much breathing the wrong way. So we need to empower people. Words, like I said, words are extremely powerful. We need to be providing people with weapons that will help them improve their life, their fitness, their health, their confidence, everything. So we need to be really careful of the words we choose.
When you said to me that the doctor had said to you, or I don't know which therapist said to you, that you were broken and weak.
Yeah.
That was so shameful to listen to that. I'm sorry about the banging. such is life. But what I wanted to say to you is, I was recently on a Facebook group, and there was a video and a woman of personal trainers, and somebody wanted to help her client do better push-ups. It's a woman doing push-ups, and that's always my thing. You're the pull-up lady, I'm the push-up lady.
Nice.
I think every woman can do a push-up given the right coaching.
Oh yeah.
And so people were on there giving really good cues that I agreed with, and so I didn't really need to add anything. They were all on the right playing field. And then one male coach came on and said, well, one, she's overweight, and two, too weak. So until those two are fixed, she's not going to do a good push-up. And so I emailed back and texted back and said, so what makes you think she wants to lose weight? Like, why exactly. is that your assumption? And then he just said, you know what? Would you rather lie to your clients? Would you rather lie to your clients and give them false hope? And I just thought, wow, this is a fitness professional. And I have to explain the absolute basic concepts to him of just having empathy with your, it's not sympathy. It's not mollycoddling them, but giving them wins and giving them feeding on their strengths, not hitting them on all of their weaknesses, which I hear all the time. And talking to clients about taking it back and doing a regression. I mean, even calling something a regression is a little bit of a, well, it shouldn't happen really, because I don't want to do something that makes me feel less than somebody else. Right.
See, I did say regression once. Like, I mean, I still sometimes I do use that word, but I know what you mean. I completely know what you mean.
I think it depends on the client, but I just mean in general, like if you generalize, and if you have a client and you want them to grow by knocking them down, it's not going to happen. And I posted recently on my Instagram story about my oldest son, and I talk about it, but not super often, but he has ASD. So he's on the autism spectrum and played football in Canada, had a not so great coach, and he was old school, and he would say really derogatory things like stop running like a girl and, you know, like throw it like a man and stuff that I just wanted to punch him in the throat about. But he broke my son. He literally took the joy out of sports, which you will understand being an athlete.
Yeah.
And then we've moved to Houston, and it just so happens that the football coach at the school is just a wonderful human being and has just brought my kid back and made him love life again. And so it wasn't just how it impacts him on the football field. He's now a kid that's doing well in school, and he's starting to be socially more active, which is a big deal for him, and he's happier in himself. And so the stance you have as a coach on people's lives is bigger than just the exercise that you
should. Oh, it's huge. Yeah. It gives them confidence for just everything in their regular life. You want them to feel empowered. You want them to feel like they can, rather than just doubting themselves. And I mean, I've had some pretty poor coaches as well, and they just completely break you down. And everybody responds differently. I don't respond well to being yelled at. Luckily, I was rarely picked on, but I mean, some people were really, really picked on. And I remember years ago, I love to head the soccer ball. Like, I'm really good at heading the soccer ball. That's one of my favorite things to do. One of my friends, this was years ago, I think it was on the grade 9 provincial team or something like that. We were both center backs, and we played two in the middle. I don't know if you know like the formations at all. Okay. Yeah. That is so common, totally. So she hated to head the soccer ball. I loved it. So our coach, he was a really mean human being. Like, he was not a good human being at all. So what he did, he ended up making her stand on the 18-yard box all alone and made everybody just drive the soccer ball at her head, and would make her head the ball and was just shouting at her and screaming at her when she would not do it. And then she ended up bursting into tears, and then I think walked away. But I mean, that is not good coaching. And I tried to step in, and I just started heading the balls for her. But then, of course, I got in trouble. So I mean, that sort of thing, I find for most people, is not effective coaching. Same with the fitness industry, like that bullshit drill sergeant thing, like yelling at what you see on TV. Like, I won't mention names, somebody who's quite famous for shouting at people. And anyway, that does not work for most people.
Oh, no, it's demoralizing. Feeling less.
I was going to say, I did receive, this is years ago, I received an email from a potential client, and then they asked me, would I yell at them like her, like Jillian Michaels, whatever. And like, they wanted me to, and they said,
you said a name.
I did. I'm sorry. And this makes me actually, never mind. I'll bite my tongue. I was going to say something silly that I won't say now.
Why?
But I was just going to say, back in the day when I was like brand new to the fitness industry, I did have a crush on her, and I watched The Biggest Loser just to watch her. Yeah. Now I'm just like banging my head against the wall. But just that coaching style is so offensive and does not work for pretty much anybody. But I was laughing because somebody legitimately emailed me and wanted me to do that to them. I think it was a male too, which is quite...
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if it was like some kind of fetish or God knows what. So needless to say, I did not take him on as a client.
No. That's really...
No.
I mean, you know, the people that listen to this podcast, I mean, the reason I started this podcast was for the menopausal women, and it's very loosey-goosey in that respect, but it's usually women over 35 onwards. And I know for a fact that if I started screaming at them, they would not respond well. These are women that some days struggle to get out of bed, you know, like they're just in the place where their hormones are all over the place, and their bodies are sore, their aches, and their energy levels are depleted. And if somebody was to say to them, any coach was to say to them, you know, sort yourself out, get down and do 20 push-ups for not doing the exercise, right? That it's not going to last. And so I'm always trying to empower my listeners and clients just to find that person that makes them thrive. And it's interesting because you released that program, the pull-up program.
Yeah.
And I love that you really try to focus that as well. I know it was for men and women, but you were, one of the messages you kept putting out there was like, I can make everyone do a push-up, every woman do a pull-up. Sorry, I'm the push-up lady, sorry. you could make anyone do like one pull-up, right? It's in everyone. Right. And I love the message. I mean, I know the program's really good and we can talk about that, but it's the message that you're trying to convey, right? With the.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's trying to empower people. One thing that's been really cool since my launch, and I mean, it's been almost 4 months, every day I'm still getting at least one or more emails, messages on social media, or people tagging me in videos. And I had one recently from another coach who's really strong. I mean, she can deadlift close to 300 pounds. She was already doing pull-ups, but I got a message from her and she was just saying how she kind of lost the joy in working out. And since she's been doing this program, she's having fun again. And so for me, I'm all about having fun, feeling like I'm playing when I'm working out. That's how I want others to feel as well. So for me, when I designed my program, that was a big part of it. And I mean, I did, while the program is for both men and women, I did target, I mean, just with the marketing, because women are constantly being told we can't do something. So I did target women more. But funny enough, during my launch, my friend Lee, she said that I should put a message out telling people that it's for men as well, just because I had really been targeting the women. And so the second I put out, it was a Facebook post, have you done programs before? Like you've released programs?
Yeah.
So ClickBank.
Okay.
So my email is like, once I put out the message for the men, my ClickBanks like blew up and it was all the sales. They were all men. So that was pretty cool too. So I guess they just needed to see or to hear that.
That's so great. Yeah, because maybe they're forgotten too. Maybe people just assume that they can do certain things and they need coaching too. That's so great that you reach that audience then as well.
Yeah, it's been a mix. I don't know, like I don't know the overall number. I'd probably say it's been about 60-40 for female to male buyers. That's maybe amazing. It's a little more female, but a lot of men have bought it as well, which is pretty cool.
And it's the great program because what people don't, when they think of a pull-up, they think of it just being like either an arm exercise or a back exercise if they don't understand how the body works. But it's a full body exercise. And so therefore the program is a full body program.
Exactly.
It's so great. And starting really with the fundamentals of core activation and resistance as well. And I love that because to me, that should be in every exercise you do. Every exercise should include the core. There shouldn't be, you know, and I know that you encourage that as well. So no, it's great. So if you do want to learn how to do a pull-up, then Megan's your girl for sure.
Thank you.
So let's talk about David Beckham quickly, right? Just because he's on my mind. Often he's on my mind. I'm going to get him on the show. He's like one of
do
my
it.
Dream. Oh, yeah. I don't like his voice. So, like,
oh, my God. I won't comment, but I laugh because I've heard that so many times and I feel so horrible for saying that. I'm trying to think of my, I'd call them man crushes because they're kind of irrelevant. But do you follow any other teams or countries even?
Yeah.
So I don't like Ronaldo. I'm not a big fan of him. He's way too arrogant for my liking. But do you know who Sergio Ramos is?
No.
Him on Instagram. You can look him up on Instagram. So he's one of my, I maybe have like three man crushes, and he's one of my three man crushes.
Oh, that's too funny. Okay, I'll check him out then.
He's really good. He always wins. He's always in, like, they vote for the top 11 in the world annually, and he usually is always one of the top 11.
And do you still play? football?
I do, but it's kind of complicated just because, so long story short, our team is really good. The past 3 years, we've made nationals. The first year, we won it. Last year, our team, it was only a team or a league of four teams. Our team won. I think we won every game. The other teams did not like playing us. So they basically said, if your team stays in the league, we're going to leave the league. So our league was going to fold if we stayed in the league. So we left, but because there was only three other teams, the league folded. So they all went down and played. I know it's so stupid, but they all went down and played a division lower. Our team, we didn't want to because, I mean, we're already winning in this higher league. We don't want to go play in a division that's lower. It would not have been worth playing. So we were over 35. Most of the people on our team are in their 40s. We went to an open age league where most of the people we played were maybe 20 to 25. And so it was a better league, but we still ended up, we won most games. The other teams hated us.
Why did everyone hate you?
Because we were older and we were shit-kicking these younger people. So the games would often get out of hand. We were promised if we went into this league, we would still be eligible for nationals. So Christmas time rolls around. BC Soccer, so like the head of our, like the provincial soccer club, backtracked. And I guess, I don't know the whole story, but they said, no, you can't go to nationals now unless, so we are now not in our league. We have replacement players playing for us because we're not allowed to play in the cup games, which is the rest of this league. So we're not playing our one league game that's left. We're allowed to have five regulars. The rest all have to be replacement players. So we haven't had any games in a couple of months. And we had to sign with a team that was two divisions lower than what we'd been playing just to pretend we're on this team so we're eligible for nationals.
Oh my goodness. So
it's a total shit show. It's ridiculous. But my situation, I'm away for some of the stuff. Like I talked about Spokane, how I'm presenting there in April. Mm-hmm. That's when one of the major soccer things is. In May, when we have another major thing, I'm in California because two of my friends and I are releasing a pretty awesome product probably in June. So
can
we're
going. Can you give us any hints or is it a big top secret?
No, it's okay. So do you know Kelly Hart?
I do not.
Kelly Davis. Well, she sometimes goes by Kelly Davis, Kelly Hart.
Okay.
So she, do you know who Sarah Duvall is?
No.
Okay, well, they're both amazing and you need to follow both of them. I don't want to say what the domain name is, but we're focusing. It's going to be really, really comprehensive, focusing on the glutes, the core, the pelvic floor, full body workout programs. I mean, that obviously address everything, but we're also going to really focus in on those components. We're going to have problem solving tutorials for common breakdowns in form for a lot of exercises. I mean, we're going to have so much, like we're going to be offering a ton of information.
Oh, that's so great. So are you trying to move a lot of your stuff to an online platform? Because you do see clients, don't you?
I do still do in-person coaching. I have cut down my hours a lot since my pull-up program. And I am focusing a lot more online. And then I am just being a bit more, like I am pretty strict with when I work for my in-person coaching, just so I have the mental and physical energy to focus on the rest.
Yeah.
And then plus I'm away a lot more too now. Like I'm traveling a lot more. A lot of my good friends don't live here. So I am away a lot more visiting them. And yeah, so it's been amazing.
Yeah, oh, I'm really pleased that that's working out well for you. That's so great.
Thank you.
We're going to have to wrap this up, but we need to talk about something. And it's a big deal for you. And it might be one of the reasons you wanted to come on my show, but we need to talk about Instagram.
Okay.
This is a big deal. So if you're listening to this, I'm going to make sure that Megan's Instagram account is tagged all over this. Because if she gets to 10,000 followers, she gets the swipe up function. And she's like killing you, isn't it? It's like killing you.
It's the only thing I care about. I mean, I don't care about being popular on there. I will not play the game. But I joke, I want my 10K followers simply so I can have the swipe up option in my story. That's all I care about.
Right. Okay. We'll make that happen. Why don't we start like a GoFundMe campaign, but not for money, but just for likes for Megan so that she can get a swipe up.
Well, and I laugh though. It's so unpredictable. Like you'll post a couple really good things. And like, I understand you don't overpost. I'm learning some good tricks, but you post a couple really good videos, pictures, whatever, and you lose so many followers for no reason. And yet you maybe don't go on for a day. And then the next day you come on and you've gained a bunch and you haven't done anything.
That's Instagram for you. But actually, I do recommend anyone listening to go over to Megan's page, because there's some really great, you try and do tutorials when you, she does some crazy ass shit as well, because she's just super strong. And it's a testament, it's a testament to where you've come from though, after the car.
Yeah. Oh, I was so badly off when I first came back.
So it's so great. And it just, it's like, to me, that's empowering, because especially everything you've been through, it's got you to a place now where you can see that, you know, you've made such huge gains all over.
Yeah. Right?
So, but there's also some great informational stuff on there. And you now talk in front of the camera, which is awesome.
I'm trying to anyway. I mean, I am getting better. Like the whole thing, I was doing it to practice for the presentation just because I am insanely nervous.
Can you tell us about the presentation? Where are you talking and who can...
Yeah, it's in Spokane in April. I believe the date, oh my gosh. I think it's the conference itself is the 6th and the 7th. I'm presenting on the 7th. A lot of really big name people will be talking. Unfortunately, I'm the only female, which is, I mean, I wish that would change. So I'll be talking about pull-ups. It's going to be very detailed. It's going to kind of be... Like I'll be talking, but it's also going to be pretty hands-on. Like I'll be demonstrating a lot, explaining, teaching people how to be able to do pull-ups. And I'm going to kind of be following the outline of my pull-up program, but it'll be a lot more detailed.
Yeah, that's great. I'm excited for you to do that. And I honestly, that's a whole other conversation about getting more females speaking in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, all we can do is just keep forging forward. And I think that we're getting heard. You've got a lot of people in the industry that respect you now, you know you and respect the work you're doing. So just keep doing what you're doing, my darling.
And I have some amazing people, I mean, amazing females that I'm friends with or that I follow. And these are people who should be household names. I mean, even just to name a few, like Lee Peel, Kelly Hart, Sarah Duvall. I mean, there's so many, like I love Jen Sinclair, so many amazing women out there to follow who are smart. I mean, they're empowering, constantly putting out good information, whether or not it's talking, videos, you name it. There are so many females and they do deserve more respect. Invisibility.
I agree. Yeah. We'll make that happen. I mean, we are going to take over the world. So God damn it.
Exactly. We will.
We will. So I would like to say thank you, Megan, for coming on the show. It's been great to chat to you. Thank you for doing this for us. I will make sure that people can find you, but do you just want to give us your website where we can reach out to you if we need to?
Yeah. So, I mean, if people wanted to get the pull-up program, it's ultimatepullups.com. My regular website, Megan Calloway Fitness. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. Feel free to add me so I get my 10K followers and then I get my much desired swipe up. I joke I'll maybe get it in this lifetime. Maybe I won't, because it took me forever even just to get where I am now, or get to where I am now, which is still very low. I'm trying to think. I don't really do Twitter. I have it, but I don't really use it. And then during my launch, I missed so many messages because I never checked Twitter. So I would just say the websites, and then Facebook and Instagram are the good places to go.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, well, thank you for coming on the show and thank you for listening this week. And I will be back next week with a new guest. Take care. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on the services offered by Amanda, please head over to her website at fitandchips.com. That's FITNCHIPS.com, or her Fit and Chips Facebook page. Leave a comment and she promises to respond to all questions. The views and advice expressed by Amanda Thebe are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always contact your healthcare provider.